Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 4? We're going to look at a very familiar verse of Scripture, but I hope that maybe we can shed some light on this particular passage. I was reading it not too long ago and began to do a word study on verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. We could translate that, and is gone unto Thessalonica. Very interesting Greek word we're going to look at tonight, and I hope that we can open our hearts and minds to this passage, and then also read it in the context of what is given. Who is he writing to? His young man in the faith, Timothy. By the way, this is the last letter that we know of that the Apostle Paul will pen. It's often called the swan song of the Apostle Paul, because it's believed to be his last writings. And he writes to his beloved Timothy, and he encourages him in verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And then he shares with him in verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed, is gone unto Thessalonica." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to your word tonight. Lord, so many times we read these verses of Scripture that are very familiar to us, and oftentimes familiarity breeds a lack of interest. We think we know something when really we may not know the depth of what is being shared. And I pray that you would help us tonight to see that. As the heart of the Apostle Paul is unfolded to Timothy, oh, how he was concerned for his servant, concerned for this young man who soon would be left alone because the Apostle Paul was going to pay a very dear price for his faith. He was going to have his head removed because the authorities were going to convict him of the crime of proselytizing. And he was going to pay with his life. I pray that you might help us to understand and to know how important it is for us to put our heart in the right place. Help us to have an attitude that's not in love with this world, but rather is in love with Thee. Father, bless this message. May it encourage our hearts, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you verse 10 from Philip's translation, and I want you to listen carefully. "Demas, loving this present world, I fear, has left me and is gone to Thessalonica." Let me read it again. I want you to catch the emphasis here. "Demas, loving," present tense, "loving this present world." That word is aeona, which is the world of age, the spirit and the culture of the age. He loved that. "And I fear has left me and is gone to Thessalonica." Whenever you read those words, I've heard many, many messages through the years. And I've never really, I think, really understood the connection here between what Paul shares about Demas and how he's connecting it right back to Timothy. We did a couple of messages on Wednesday nights in June related to Paul teaching Timothy to be that point man, to don't be afraid to go out on point, and to be a battler for the gospel, a fighter for Christ. But as he comes down to these final words to Timothy, as he writes this letter, his heart's overflowing for concern for him, and he also has concern for another young man who's left him. For he puts in there this phrase, which is not translated in our King James Bibles, but is inferred in the original language, "Demas, loving this present world, I fear, has left me and gone to Thessalonica." I fear that he's left me. He was concerned about Demas because Demas had something else going on in his life. There was something that had not shown itself to the Apostle Paul until Demas was gone. And he says, I fear that he has left me. And he's gone to what city? Thessalonica. You know, the Bible, the New Testament especially, has a lot to say about the city of Thessalonica. It's mentioned many, many times. On the second missionary journey that the Apostle Paul took, he went to Thessalonica, and he was run out of town. By what group of people? Does anybody know? The Jews. The Jews, they ran him out of town. They said, we don't want you here. He came back on his third missionary trip, twice, to Thessalonica. Once coming through, and then he made a circle and came right back to Thessalonica again. We read of his letters to the Thessalonian believers and their struggles that they had. They thought that the Lord had already come in the rapture. They were afraid that they had missed out, and he sought to correct that error with them. But there were other things. Compared to the Bereans, it said the Bereans are more noble than you, Thessalonians, because they check out what I say, and you don't. Now, that's an amazing statement. But we do find in 1 Thessalonians that they were a people who left their idols and turned to the true and living God. So there were good things that were said about the church there in Thessalonica. But I want you to think about the culture of Thessalonica. The culture. Unique among the Roman Empire was the city of Thessalonica. It was a free city. There were a few of those throughout the Roman Empire, but not very many. Most were like Philippi. Philippi was a Roman center. It was controlled totally by the Romans. It was a garrison for the military. But not Thessalonica. Thessalonica was self-ruled. They were allowed to have a constitution. They were allowed to appoint their own leaders with very little involvement of the Roman Empire. As a result of that, Thessalonica became a favorite city for the pagans, for the Gentiles. It was a place of utter debauchery. And we find in the Scripture that there were some times where there were some struggles with the Thessalonians. And we find here this man who had joined with Paul, who had been with him on his second journey, and perhaps even on his third journey, left Paul. And he went to what city? Thessalonica. There was an allure about that city that drew Demas to it. And Paul put his finger right on the problem. This is the Apostle Paul. And he's speaking by pen of whom? Inspiration. So was Paul right about Demas and what he had to say? Absolutely right. This is very important. What was his problem? Demas loving this present age, the culture, I fear has left me and is gone where? Where he could have more of the present age. You see, what Paul did not realize early on was that Demas was already working his way toward Thessalonica. Now, we're using Thessalonica almost in a spiritualized sense, all right? It's a type of the world. It's a type of a very pagan culture, very open culture, egalitarian culture. You can believe what you want to believe. We read many documents concerning the history of that city. It was a very open-minded culture. You can worship who you want to worship. You can like this God or that God. It doesn't matter to us. Sound familiar? This egalitarian idea that your belief in God is no different than a Muslim's belief in Allah or some other religion's belief, Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, go down the list of all the isms. They're all equals. Are they? Well, Thessalonica believed that. That was the spirit of the age that was there. And Demas liked that. Having loved, and it's interesting, What word for love would you think would be used here? I assumed for years, because I didn't study it like I should have, that it was a phileo, or maybe eros type of love. You know what kind of love he had for the present age? Agape. Same root word. Very interesting when we find that here. It is the word agapesas, translated, having willed to love. Demas willed to love the present age. His actions, his love, was not a God-provided love. It was an internal, willed love for the present age. That's where his heart was, and he was moving toward it. And where was it found? What city? Thessalonica. And Paul says, having loved this present age, I fear that he has gone to Thessalonica. He's followed his heart. You know what? That expression is coming up more and more in the culture. You know, it's always been around. But it's in just about every Hallmark Channel movie. I need to start writing it down. Whenever I catch some of those that come on there, they're usually clean, some of them. But they say, just follow your heart. Just follow. Your heart will lead you to Thessalonica. Here was a man who served alongside the Apostle Paul. And Paul looks at him after Demas has left. He hasn't come back. And he writes to Timothy, Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present age. Why is he writing that to Timothy? He's concerned for him, isn't he? He's concerned for Timothy. You see, the Apostle Paul's not all-knowing. He had been fooled by Demas. I think all of us can say we've been fooled by people. People we thought were on the straight and narrow, doing the right thing, and then next thing you know, they're off at Thessalonica. They've left. And you say, what's going on? Why did they do that? I will never forget sitting in a preacher boys session. And one of the men that was there, I think it was Bruce McAllister, stepped up to the podium. And he said, gentlemen, the speaker that was supposed to be here today was uninvited. And so the reason for that was that he was caught just this past weekend at a hotel with the church secretary. We found out about this by a phone call from one of the deacons in the church who knew about this trip, and so he was met at the airport and told, we're sorry, you can't preach to our preacher boys. The man denied it, but the secretary didn't. And yet, interestingly enough, the man resigned his church, went down the road, started another church. Said he'd been forgiven of God. God forgave him. Started another church, needless to say. Not very many people attended that church. I understand he's long passed away. But I remember sitting in that church thinking about the man's name because I knew who he was. I had read his name many, many times. His name had appeared in books that I had read on fundamentalism. His name came up as one of the staunch defenders in a certain state. And my heart was grieved when I heard that. It was a man who stood in a pulpit to proclaim the gospel. I had heard him the previous year, spoke in chapel, preached a tremendous message. And you know where his heart was? His heart was down in Thessalonica. And he was taking steps even then that was moving him toward that city. I want us to think tonight for just a few moments about some of the words in this verse of Scripture. Some of the words. I've already pointed out the word love that we find here in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, is rooted in the word agape. It's a word centering on the will. You know, your will is a very powerful thing. And when you set your will on something, more than likely it's going to be accomplished. I heard some of the young men last night say, I'm going to hit a home run tonight. Okay, I gave that up years ago. I say, I might hit one, but it doesn't usually happen. Usually it's out, and I go back to the fence over there where the rest of them are. But I could hear some of the young men say, I'm going to hit a home run tonight. Some of them did. Parked them over there on the other side of the fence. And there were some that tried really hard and didn't make it this time, but maybe later on it's going to happen. You ever had that drive within you, I'm going to accomplish something? Brother Paul had that on a 1967 Mustang Fastback. I saw it when it was all taken apart. And I thought to myself, you know, that is a major project. My brother and I and Dad worked on what year was ours? 66? 66 Mustang that we worked on back in the 80s as kind of a project during high school and college. And we had a little bit of fun, but we didn't do what Brother Paul did. I mean, he had that thing all the way down to the unibody and everything stripped off and working on it. But he set his mind to something. I have a box of bats in my office, which I'm going to get laser printed, by the way, that Brother Paul made. He determined he was going to take some wood and he was going to make some mini bats for me to use as gifts for some of my yak coaches. And we're going to have laser printed on there a scripture verse, let all things be done decently and in order, and give those out as gifts to some of my coaches whenever they accomplish certain things or they finish up so many years. But he has a will that he determined he was going to do that, and he did it. I could go down the list of different individuals in this congregation that I've known that have set out to do things and they've done it. Demas set out for Thessalonica. Nobody knew it. Not even the Apostle Paul. Nobody knew what was going on in the heart and mind of Demas. And I couldn't help but think in regard to that. I wonder if there's a Demas among us. Someone who has already set their heart for Thessalonica. They're not there yet. Maybe on that second missionary trip that Demas was with Paul, he became acquainted with the city. Maybe he was from Thessalonica. We have no idea or no knowledge. But we know that he at least visited that city at least two or three times. And whenever Paul left Thessalonica to make his way back on finishing up that third missionary journey, Demas didn't go with him. Demas had gone to Thessalonica. And Paul said, I fear that he's loved this present age and he's gone down there. That word gone is a very interesting word. It's two words put together in the Greek language. Iporuthe is the Greek word. It means to transfer over to. Let that just soak in for just a moment. To transfer over to. To pick up roots and to transfer over to another place. That's the word gone. Other ways it's translated, to pursue the journey on which one has already entered. All right, now this comes from Barry's dictionary of the Greek language. To pursue the journey on which one has already entered, to continue on one's journey, to lead or order one's life according to. So when you have that concept, think of it this way as we translate that verse of Scripture. Demas, loving this present world, I fear, has transferred over to Thessalonica. And it wasn't so he could attend the church that was there. It wasn't so he could be a part of that church that had been planted there in Thessalonica so he could have the world. He could be a part of that culture, that open-minded culture. Let me just say this to all of us tonight. You better be careful of having an open mind. You start moving toward the egalitarian approach that this culture is promoting today, everybody's all right. No, everybody's not all right. We're sinners in need of a Savior. You get that mindset in your mind, the egalitarian viewpoint, you stop witnessing to people. Do you realize that's the heart and soul of Calvinism? It's an unwillingness to witness because, after all, God's already determined who the elect are. I don't know who they are, but God does. And by the way, the new Calvinists even pursue it even further. They say that under the covenant of grace, if an elect couple has children, all their children are elect, whether they recognize God or not. Now, what does that do to evangelism? What did Paul tell Timothy back in verse 5? Notice this, please. This connection just hit me between the eyes. But watch thou in all things. That word watch means to stand fast. Stand fast thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of what? An evangelist. Preach, literally, preach the evangel, the gospel. And yet under new Calvinism today and their belief of the covenant of grace, if a elected couple has children, those children throughout life, they're under the covenant of grace, and when they die, they're going to go to heaven whether they recognize God or not in their life. Now, folks, that's hellish. That's hellish. There's nothing in the Scriptures that indicate that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Whosoever what? Believeth. Exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't say anything in there about, well, you can just live your life without faith. And at the very end, God will give you the faith that you need, and that's all you have to have. He'll just give you everything. And they say this, that for the fundamentalists or the biblicists who preach that a sinner must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're actually mocking the grace of God. Because after all, God's the one that regenerates a soul to give them faith so they can believe. They believe in regeneration before faith. That God regenerates a soul and then gives them faith and then they can believe. That's utter nonsense. That's not taught anywhere in the Scripture. And yet, allegorization of the Scripture has brought about this doctrine, strips away the purpose of the ministry, and that's to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost sinners. If what they believe in New Calvinism, if what they believe was true, then Paul was giving wrong instruction to his servant Timothy. Right? Why would he do the work of an evangelist? If in the covenant of grace, God's already determined that the elect, when they have children, they're all protected and they're going to go to heaven when they die. What would you do the work of an evangelist for? Why would you preach the gospel? What would be the purpose? Folks, we're going to stop there tonight. This passage of Scripture is just screaming. Watch out about how you think. Watch out about how you think. You get an open mind to this present age, and you'll believe things and you'll do things that you never thought you would do. Demas, let his mind be encaptured by the present age. And when he went through Thessalonica, he said, "This is part of the present age. I want this." And that whole time that he traveled on that second missionary journey, or maybe it was on the third missionary journey, we're not really sure as to the timing. But as he traveled with Paul, whenever he made it back through Thessalonica, he just filtered right into the city and he was gone. He was done for. And Paul said, I fear that he's transferred his affections over to Thessalonica. In other words, he wants to be part and parcel of this present age. I'm concerned for our young people. I'm concerned for our children. But I want to tell you this, I'm concerned for our adults. It's easy to start thinking, well, it's just the young people. Oh no, I'm going to tell you something. You start thinking thoughts of this world, and it embeds us. Traditions. Oh, how traditions. We do things because it's traditional. If it's not according to this book, throw it away. Don't let it crown your thinking. Some tradition that's become popular or something that's been passed down from age. If it's unbiblical, get rid of it. There's nothing sanctified about some tradition that you've had in the past. If it's unbiblical, get rid of it. Read about not too long ago this pastor who said it was a tradition in their family to drink wine at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Can you guess what happened to the pastor? He was a closet wine bibber. Had been for years and years and years. It ruined his marriage. It ruined his relationship with his family. He was removed from the church because he was following the tradition. Well, it's a tradition in our family. If the tradition is wrong, always go with God's Word. If it's not based in God's Word, it's based in the culture, the present age. Watch out. Watch out. You may be just like Demas and step away from the truth and go over, transfer your affections over to Thessalonica. This verse is included in the writ of Scripture for us. Do I hear an amen? It's for us. It wasn't just for Timothy. It's for us tonight. Guard your soul. Guard your heart. Guard your thinking. Put up the hedge of the Scriptures and don't let anything through that doesn't pass through the clear teachings of the Word of God. Or you'll fall off the radar screen just like Demas. He's never mentioned again. I don't know what happened to him. You know what I fear? The same thing that Paul feared. He loved the present world and transferred his affections over to Thessalonica. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that you'd teach us from this passage as we consider in the future some further thoughts in this regard. Lord, help us to put up a wall, not of human reasoning, but the wall of thy precious Holy Spirit and the teaching of your word to shield us from the thinking of this present age. Oh, it's all messed up. And yet sometimes we're infatuated with the world and the age in which we live. We look at it and say, look at all the fun they're having. Look at all the, they seem to be really enjoying it. And we let our thinking sink right down into the world. And we end up running to Thessalonica because that's where our heart leads us. Lord, I pray that you would do a work of grace in our hearts to teach us tonight from your word. And may we watch, as Paul said for Timothy to do. May we watch in all things. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.